Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning. It's Neil here. It is so good to be with you. And what an honor it is to continue our sermon series, Friendology, the Study of Friendships. Really appreciate the great comments that we've been receiving from you. Thank you for that. Well, we have looked at the Good Samaritan, and then last week, Jennifer Sangster, she led us in the book of Ruth, and we learned so much from that. And today I want to take you to a story that we find in Mark 2, but actually I'm reading from Luke chapter 5. I'm going to read from verses 17 to 20, just to give context. Then I want to unpack that just a little bit, because I really believe that this is going to help us. Today, I really want to drill down a wee bit, so get ready. I really want us to focus in, and I believe that what I'm going to share is really going to help us. So let's read together. One day, Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Hallelujah. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Friend, your sins are forgiven. Hey, we realize by now that relationships and people play such a significant part in our life, in our journey of moving forward. And the great danger, of course, is if we don't master and steward relationships, then we're going to face trouble and turbulence. Can I hear an amen? Have you ever got into trouble because of relationships? You misunderstood a relationship. You've been misunderstood. It wasn't quite what you thought, and you ended up in trouble. And I've discovered this over my lifetime. You know, you can be good with God, but out of sorts with people. With God, I'll be honest, I sometimes find that so much easier than the person who's standing next to me. And if we're not careful, I think it can bring relational drama and relational stress into our life. And that's why I think it's so important that we are so careful the people that we allow into our world. Recently, I was watching a documentary. It was about the military, and it showed this radar, and someone was watching the screen. They were watching to see the objects that were coming in. They wanted to know if it was friendly. They wanted to know who was coming in and who was going out. You've probably seen those same movies or documentaries. And I really was challenged by this because I thought to myself, you know what, Neil? You need a radar in your spirit. You need 20/20 in your spirit to see the people that are coming in and the people that need to go out. Now, I'm not being bad here. I'm not pointing fingers at anyone. But I think it would really help us if we got real wise when it comes to this area of relationships, the people that we allow to speak into our world. We need an internal spiritual radar. Paul, writing to the book of Romans, he says this in Romans 8:5, "Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit." In other words, we need the discernment. We need wisdom. We need understanding. We need to sometimes step back and say, where are our relationships at? Was that relationship for a period of time? Are those people speaking negative? Are they pulling me down? Do they speak down to me? Is that the sort of people that you want in your world? And we need to be very careful who we allow to speak into our life. Now, I recognize that there are different people that come into our world for different seasons. There are what I call acquaintances. Those are people who we know slightly. Sometimes there's a connection, sometimes there's not a connection. You don't dig deep into their world. You don't know too much about them. Perhaps they don't know much about you. They may come into your world for a season and then they leave. That's acquaintances. And then, of course, there are what's known as associates, a partner or companion in business or at work. The relationship is more connected to something that is in your world and in their world. In other words, the connection is not really about you, but it's about that point or that thing that connects you. And once again, they come into your world for different seasons, an acquaintance or an associate. I've discovered that sometimes associates have become very close and dear friends. But what we're talking about during this series is what we call true friends. Now, true friends are different from associates and they're different from acquaintances. I'm talking about people that are with you in the low times and in the high times. In the mountaintop and in the valley, they're going to be there. And you're going to run into trouble. I'm going to run into trouble if we mix up associates, acquaintances, and true friends, because we may start to share the wrong thing with the wrong person. But I need people in my world, and we've talked a lot about this over this last few weeks, about people who are there with you when you're down. But I'm glad that there are people in my world when things are going well that can celebrate with me. Pastor Dan spoke about that. In fact, just a couple of months ago, I received a phone call from a dear friend. He's not an associate. He's not an acquaintance. He's a friend. And he called and he wanted to share some good news with me. And when he shared that, we rejoiced together. And then he said these words, "Neil, I didn't know who else I could call to share this good news, that we're going to receive it in the same spirit that I'm telling about it." In other words, not everyone gets excited about your blessing. I want people in my world that when I'm being blessed, they're excited to see the overflow of my blessing. Rejoice with those that rejoice, the Bible says, and weep with those that weep. I want people in my world that when God is doing a press down, shaking together and running over, that they're going, "Hallelujah, praise God, we're excited for you, Neil." That when God begins to open doors, that they're clapping and they're applauding and they're cheering me on. You know, some people like you because of what you have, not because of who you are or where you are going. But we need people in our world who will inspire us, who will encourage us to run further, to achieve more, especially for God when it comes to purpose and calling, so that when we see success, they are going, "Yes." And I tell you something else, I want to be the type of person that when someone is succeeding, that I am cheering them on. When I see the favor of God rest upon their life, hallelujah, glory to God. Why? Because we're all in this thing together. And I've discovered that when I have people like that in my world, that our contribution together is greater than what I can do alone. Why? Because of unity and harmony. Now, can I say very carefully here, I'm not talking about having a bad attitude towards people. I don't want you to pick up the phone and say, "You're out. No longer want you as my friend." No, when I talk about a spiritual radar, we must understand that under the umbrella of love and long-suffering. I'm not talking, church, about pushing people away. Do you know that Jesus loved the very people that were trying to kill him? Think about this. When Judas came to betray Jesus, he received no rebuke. Jesus did not call him an enemy. In fact, in Matthew chapter 26, 50, Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." How could Jesus call Judas a friend when he had just betrayed him? I tell you why, because Jesus, with his radar, was just so sharp, it was so on point, that he knew that actually Judas was just being an accomplice to the great resurrection that was going to take place. So hey, let's go back to our story that I read. We see that there's this man, he's, for the sake of words, he was paralyzed. He's at the mercy of others. He's like many of us, we may not be paralyzed physically, but he was stuck. He could go nowhere without the help of another. But there were four friends, and listen to what they did. Number one, true friends leverage their strength to help you. Do you want to know if someone's a true friend? Well, the Bible tells us how we can know that. By their fruits, we know them. Begin to examine your friends and your relationships. What is the fruit that they are bearing? Are they there for you? Is there a sense of, are you there for them? I'm not talking about entitlement. I'm not talking about you have to, but just out of that relationship that each of you choose to leverage your strength to help each other move forward. Here's the truth. This man had to be carried. All of us get stuck in different places in life. I am so glad and so appreciative of the people that have carried me when I felt stuck, when I felt broken, when I felt that I couldn't put one more foot in front of the other. I'm so grateful to God for people that were there in my world. Listen to what Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 10 says. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, if anyone gets stuck, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them. I'm so glad for people who lifted me up, dusted me off, and pointed me in the right direction and says, Neil, maybe you're feeling stuck, but we're actually here to help you get unstuck because friends leverage their strength to help you move forward. I'll tell you what else friends do. Number two, friends take risks for you. I was just thinking the other day and meditating on that scripture of Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, the king. You read about it in 1 Samuel. And his armor bearer, we find this story in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer something incredible. I want to read it to you because I think it's so helpful. Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, come, let us go over to the outpost of these uncircumcised men, the Philistines. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf. Nothing can hinder the Lord from saving, whether by many or by few. Now listen to what his armor bearer said. Do all that you have in mind. Go ahead. I am with you, heart and soul. Jonathan said, come on then. We'll cross over towards them and let them see us. The armor bearer knew that it was a risky situation. Potentially, they could have lost their lives. But he was so committed to Jonathan, he says these words, I'm with you, heart and soul. And then Jonathan says, come on, we will cross over. I don't know about you, but I want friends in my world. I want to be a friend that is willing to risk it when circumstances don't look favorable, when the door is closed, when there seems no way, when all the obstacles are against us. I want people in my world that say, Neil, I am with you, heart and soul. I want to say to my friends, I'm with you, heart and soul, and statement of faith, come on, we will cross over. I don't want people in my world that as soon as there's an obstacle, they drop me, they give up on me. I need people, regardless of how it looks, they refuse to give up. And that's what happened in this story. When these four friends arrived at the house where Jesus was teaching, they were believing for a miracle. The Bible says that they could not get in because the house was full. There was not even room at the door. They looked at the door, but that obstacle was not going to cause them to turn and go back with a friend in a sick state. They loved their friend so much that they were willing to take some risks and get very creative. Why? Because they didn't want their friend to lie on a mat forever. And sometimes in life, if you're a true friend, you've just got to take a risk. It may look difficult, it may look challenging. There may not be an obvious way ahead, but sometimes you've just got to go, you know what? We're going to make this happen one way or another. I need people in my world that are prepared to go with me and are believing for breakthrough. You see, they were so concerned for the well-being of their friend that the obstacle to others was not going to be an obstacle to them. They were prepared to fight for their breakthrough. Oh, I want to be a friend like that. I want to be someone that in my friend's world, that if I see they're down, if I see they're out, if I see they're struggling, that I'm prepared to fight for them. Listen, I thank God for cruise ship friends, but there's times you need battleship friends. You need times that when it looks dark, that your friends say, I don't care how bad it looks. It's not over. God is for you. He's not against you. God will make a way where there seems to be a way. Come on, I'm preaching now. I need people that are prepared to go to war for me. People that say, no weapon formed against you, Neil, is going to prosper. Listen, maybe they can't speak into my situation, but they can speak into my spirit. I remember, in fact, it was just a couple of days ago. I've got to tell you this story. Phyllis and I, we received real bad news. It was a difficult few days. And I was really praying. I'll be honest, I was up late and I was up early. I was praying to God. I'm saying, God, you've got to move on our behalf. And do you know, the next day, in the morning, a friend called me from another town. He says, Neil, is everything all right? I'm like, hey, yeah, things are fine. You know, we're just trusting in God. He says, Neil, God put you in my spirit. He says, I just want you to realize that we are praying for you. Well, I tell you, folks, what an encouragement that was to us. That evening, a friend called from America. Neil, how are you and Phyllis doing? I says, well, to be honest, that we're facing some challenge. Listen to what he said. 30 minutes ago, I'm praying, and the Lord put you and your wife in my spirit, on my spirit. I felt I just had to call and speak to you and let you know that we are coming into agreement with you for victory. He said, in fact, I'm just about to leave for a prayer meeting. I am going to be on my knees, and I am going to tell the church that we need to pray for our friends in Scotland. Church, it blew me away. Because I was on my knees saying, God, where are you? And I have some battleship friends that are prepared that regardless of the obstacle or the challenge, when it looked like for this guy that there was no room, there were friends that said, listen, we're prepared to get up in that roof and we're going to take the risk. We're not even going to ask for permission. We're going to start ripping that roof and we're going to get you to Jesus. You're not going to leave here the same way you came. Church, come on. That's the type of friend we should be. Friends that have roof-ripping faith. Friends that say, regardless of the obstacle, you are going to get into the presence of Jesus. You see, the Bible says that they lowered him down. They lowered him down what? Into the presence of Jesus. Listen, if you're going to let me down into the presence of Jesus. And we need friends that are prepared to take risks for us because they love us so much. So what happens? Jesus is teaching and dirt starts to fall. By the way, sometimes mess is part of your breakthrough. Some of us want everything clean and perfect and everything lined up. You know, as Jesus was teaching, the roof began to break because people are ripping it apart up there and dirt starts to fall. And you know what? Jesus was put up, the Bible says the Pharisees were in the room. Jesus put up with religion until a breakthrough happened. They lower their friend into the presence of Jesus. Now, when I read this, I expect that Jesus is going to say to this man, wow, get up. But the Bible says the first thing Jesus said to this man was this. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, there you go, friend, your sins are forgiven. Jesus, you know, this is the first time that sin has been mentioned. No one else mentioned the sins of this man on the mat, but Jesus knew that he was a sinner. And Jesus' first thing he said was, friend, your sins are forgiven. You see, Jesus could have healed that man, and he could have walked out of the house. But you know what? His legs may have been made whole, but his heart would still have been in a mess. But Jesus realized that it wasn't only important that this guy walked out of the house, but Jesus was believing that he was going to walk into eternity. Which is easier to say, Jesus declared. Your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk. But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. How beautiful is that? He's carried on a stretcher. His friends take a risk and let him down through a roof. Jesus forgives him of his sin, and then he heals him. And right in the midst of religion, right in the midst of those that everything had to be perfect, everything had to line up, this man walked out, sins forgiven, and healed. Why? Because friends carried him to Jesus. Last week, Jennifer Sangster, she shared a wonderful message on the story of Ruth. And as she did, there was a verse she read, and it stuck with me. It's Ruth 1:20. Now the context is Naomi has returned to Bethlehem. She's lost her husband. She's lost her two sons. One daughter-in-law returns with her. And she's feeling that life has just been too hard. So when the woman of the city saw her, they say, "Is this Naomi?" Now, Naomi means pleasantness. Listen to what Naomi said, Ruth 1, verse 20. "Don't call me Naomi," she responded. "Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made life very bitter for me." This is what she was saying. Don't call me pleasantness. Don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara, bitterness. Life has just got too hard. I went and checked and I discovered something. You never see Naomi referred to as Mara. Her friends did not call her Mara. Ruth did not call her Mara. They always called her Naomi. Why? Because here's what true friends do. Friends are real with you. That's my third point. And even though you feel down and out and over and it's pointless going on, friends refuse to declare that over you. They're going to declare that there's life and there's health and there's potential and there's future. Why? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? And maybe you feel like Naomi. Maybe you feel Mara. Maybe you feel that life has just got too hard. Here's the good news. I am going to pray for you that you would sense the presence of favor of God. I speak his blessing on you right now in the name of Jesus. And hey, as we come to the end of this sermon, this thought, I want to encourage you. Do you know my friend Jesus? The Bible says he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never give up on me. He's always going to be there, even when I make mistakes and even when I let him down. He never lets me down. But my question is this: do you have a relationship with Jesus? You need to know him as your Lord, as your Master, as your Savior, and also as your friend. Hey, perhaps you want to come into agreement with me right now as I pray. Why don't you just pray there in your home? Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're my Master, my Savior, my Lord. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I recognize that you are the one I've been looking for. I know that the Bible says that you are a friend of sinners. So as you forgive me of my sin and come into my heart, I declare that I belong to you and I belong to the family of God. Amen.